broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West, on the West Coast, and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, excuse me. Just a little bit of a faux pas. Welcome to the program. This is Radio for Patriots by Patriots, where we take you places other talk shows, quite frankly, can't take you. Wish they could, but they can't. And, of course, we are a radio show, a talk show, a news entertainment talk show that knows what it's talking about. And when we say news and entertainment, we try to make this talk show an entertaining thing. We're not attempting to get anybody elected. We're not attempting to get anyone thrown out of office. We don't think we can change the world with a talk show. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, we are the only ones that will be very honest with you. You cannot change the world with a talk show. And people that tell you that that you can, people that advocate very vociferously on behalf of different candidates and issues, they are lying to you.
Yeah.
Lying, as we like to say on our program. 877-87, but they're nice people. I know a lot of them. I see them at conventions. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're online at philhendryshow.com, where tonight is a red-letter day. It's a banner day. I say tonight, but tonight, it's a red-letter night. It's a banner night. Banner night. At midnight tonight, going into Saturday morning, we begin our three-day free Phil weekend on our website. That means at midnight tonight, Pacific Daylight Time. I understand that it's after midnight on the East Coast and in some other areas, but at midnight Pacific Daylight Time tonight, which will be 3 a.m. for our great friends on the East Coast, we begin our three-day free Phil weekend. Just so you know, you won't be getting stiffed, you guys back east, when the three-day weekend ends, because the three-day weekend will end at 1 a.m., 4 a.m. Eastern Time, Tuesday morning. And this three-day weekend will be a free tour of our site, which means you'll be able to access our live streaming video of the show for free. You'll be able to listen to the streams of all of our archive material. You'll be able to listen to the streams of all of our rants, of all of our webisodes. You'll be able to go back many, many, many years. You can listen to the character clips. You can listen to the whole shows. You can take a complete and full tour of our free website beginning at midnight. It will be a free tour, if you will. And why I say tour is because our backstage pass members are allowed to download and carry around in their iPod, for instance, shows or character clips or things that we've done. And that is something that we will not have featured this time on our free trial, because our backstage pass members are allowed to do that. So we have to kind of keep that's an exclusive kind of cool thing. So you don't get to do that yet. But if you become a backstage pass member, then yes, by all means, you can. But go ahead, take the tour beginning at midnight tonight, Pacific Daylight Time, of our website, the Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com. We think you'll enjoy it. We hope you enjoy it. And then you make up your mind on getting that BSP and become a member of the family, become a member of our second generation of Backstage Pass members. In any event, it starts at midnight tonight. It's very exciting. I'm very thrilled. And that's not all. That's not all that we have in store for you. We've got some very, very interesting, fun, and possibly illegal. I'm kidding.
Yeah, Mr. Hall said.
I'm kidding, okay? No. In any event, some very fun things. All right, 877-876-PHIL, and we're going to be joining Pastor William Rennick. He's in Dallas, Texas tonight for a conclave of a variety of spiritual leaders and members of your congregation, Pastor Rennick, which I understand is not a Pentecostal. You are a Protestant, Protestant religious a faction, but what is the name of your overall national congregation?
Yeah, Bill, we are members of Grace of God, and Joyful Union Congregation has been a part of Grace of God since we founded our congregation in the mid-1990s. We're in Dallas, Texas tonight to see so many people we haven't seen in a long time. People that were members of our congregation, young people, Phil, that came up in our congregation, went to seminary, went to Bible college, and began their own ministries across this country. We're also here to share ideas with Grace of God and with other members of other spiritual flocks. We have some Pentecostal people here tonight. And the reason why this is an important evening and an important weekend for our group and for our congregation and for our for all the people that love God and proclaim Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of mankind is to find a better connection, a better way, I guess, if you want to call it that, for people to feel comfortable to come to God, you know, and to lay their burden down. And we want to talk about that. We want to kick around some ideas. We have brought to Dallas, Texas tonight a tithing. And the idea of tithing, Phil, which is the same as tithing.
Well, now, hold on. When you say tithing?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. It's tithing, not tithing.
That is correct, yes.
It has to do with money?
It has to do with the donation, the collection that we have at every church all over the country every single Sunday. Wherever we're having a religious service, we've got people that are in great need. We have people who have come to this country, and yes, they are here, and they are here illegally. And I don't want to have a political conversation. I don't want anyone to get angry at Pastor Rennick. I don't want anyone to get angry at my congregation. I don't want to have anybody, come to blows or have the discord or anything like this over this issue. All we want to do is to make sure the people that are coming across the border from Mexico or wherever they're coming from have what they need, the food, the clothing, and so forth.
And so you're talking about the illegal immigrants.
I am. Yes, I am. But I'm talking about them in the spirit that Governor Perry talked about them. Governor Perry is against illegal immigrants, but Governor Perry made this statement I thought was very, very true when he said, you cannot possibly have a heart if you allow young people who've been here all their lives not to have a chance, you know.
And well, you know, but Governor Perry, first of all, Governor Perry backed off of the heartless thing.
I did not know that, but I think that I don't think he meant to back off. I think he did that politically. You know?
But all right, but secondly, here's another thing. He was talking about young people that have been here all of their lives. In other words, he was talking about people that have been here all of their lives, born in Mexico but raised in the United States. Having said that, what does that have to do with the collection, as you say?
All right, well, let me get to the idea of tithing. Is as a Protestant minister, we do not believe, and I'm not saying Protestant now, that separate us from Catholic. We do not believe in any kind of ornate process by which we come to God. I'm not criticizing any of my Catholic friends. I'm not criticizing any of my brothers and sisters who are of the Catholic faith. I know a great many who are wonderful people. I'm simply saying I'm borrowing from the Catholic faith the idea of reconciliation, of confession. And the idea that with tithing, you can, and I thank God for the inspiration, you can, with your money, come into Joyful Union Congregation. You can present tithing. And within my power, my very limited and very humble power, as a minister of God, as a pastor of this congregation, I will give you my blessing through God and forgive whatever sin I can forgive through your tithing of presentation.
So if I come into your church, now this is something I'm familiar with as a Catholic, reconciliation, where we go into the church and we kneel before, or we sit with a priest and we tell the priest our sins.
That is correct, yes.
And he gives us penance, which generally is a series of prayers. You're not talking about that.
Yeah, well, yes, I am, but I'm doing it in a way that it conforms more to the grace of God and Joyful Union Congregation. I do not. I'm not going to give you a prayer to do. I'm not going to give you that's not really, I don't feel right, and I don't feel it's within my power to do. What I can do is listen to the sin. I want to hear the sin, and then I will take your tithing. I will give you my forgiveness. I'll give you the forgiveness of God and my forgiveness insofar as I can forgive you. And that tithing that you have given unto me goes to these unfortunate families. So what we're doing, Phil, is...
All right, so but are you...
What we're doing is the following thing. I'm not God, but I can forgive you if you say to me, Pastor Rennick, I was angry with my wife, and I was very hateful, and I had anger, and I feel I've sinned against God. I will say to you, well, I forgive you. I'm a Pastor Rennick. I'm not God, but I forgive you. And I'm sure that God will find a way to forgive you if you, you know, say you're sorry to your wife. And I will take the tithing that you've given me and present that to the Mexican or to the people that are here illegally. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to marry my ministry and the salvation we try to bring to people with the illegal Mexican, illegal immigrant problem. And we feel this is a wonderful way, Phil, to raise money for people that are here illegally, at least to try to get them some food and some shelter and so forth. And at the same time, you know, provide some solace and forgiveness.
Well, I'm listening to what you're saying, and what you're saying is that you take money from people.
This is called a tithing, though. I don't call it money, and I don't say I'm taking money. I say that people present a tithing.
All right. People present a tithing, which is in the form of money, and you then will forgive them a sin. You can't guarantee it's forgiven, but you say that you forgive it, and you're sure that God will if they follow God's law, continue to follow God's law.
That is correct, yes.
The money that you get from these people, then you give to the illegal immigrant or people that are advocating on their behalf so that they have food and shelter.
That is correct, and clothing and other things. Now, let me say that.
Hold on, I just want to tell you this, that this is a, you know, the Catholic Church outlawed paying for salvation.
No, you're not paying for salvation. No. And we're not Catholic. Understand that. We're not Catholic. We are.
No, I know that. But wasn't that one of Martin Luther, when he first broke away from the church, wasn't he saying that, you know, one of the things that bothered him was paying for forgiveness?
No, but that's not what I'm doing. And Martin Luther got nothing to do with Pastor William Rennick. Martin Luther was this man in Germany 600 years ago, wherever it was. He had nothing to do with me. I don't have to follow him. I don't even know who he is. Martin Luther King, I know. I don't know Martin Luther. And I know that he began the Protestant movement, but he had nothing to do with me. I'm saying that we're trying to help the Mexican community.
All right, well, hold on, because I got to take a break.
Well, you know, Phil, I'm trying to get this out, and
I know you're trying to get it out, and I want to understand, and we may have Father James McQuarters on in a moment to talk about this, as Pastor William Rennick is he's a Protestant minister, and he is offering forgiveness of some kind for sins in exchange for money that he gives to the immigrant community. Sounds a lot like what they used to do in the Catholic Church, which was sell salvation, sell forgiveness. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Or maybe what he's talking about is something that is a whole new view, a modern view of raising money for the poor and at the same time giving people peace of mind. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Try to get it set.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I just got a text message here, and it looks like it's just about 100 minutes away for you to capture 1999 BSP prices. If you want to get a backstage pass at our website, you've got 100 minutes to become a first-generation member of our website and capture these prices that we have right now that have been in existence since 1999. I got Pastor William Rennick on the line. Just for a moment here, Pastor, can you believe that?
I'm sorry, what'd you say, Phil?
Can you believe that these prices we've got right now, did we just lose the connection? All right, get him back on.
Yeah, get Pastor William Rennick back on the phone. Yeah!
Don't yell, bud, okay? Just do it in the background, if you don't mind. So we got about 100 minutes to capture 1999 price. Is he back, Pastor Rennick?
Yeah, Phil, I'm sorry, but I had to take another phone call, and we're going to be going upstairs in about an hour to talk with the Elder Assemblage of Grace of God about our tithing.
Well, I was just saying that our website prices are we've only got 100 minutes left of our 1999 subscription price. It's going to change at midnight Pacific time to $9.99 a month. Right now, it's only $6.95 a month, I think. So times do change, don't they?
Well, you know, times change, and it sounds like you're doing a very good business, and I congratulate you on that. The business that I'm in, though, is the business of saving souls, and what I'm asking people, you know, I would love to talk about your website.
Well, I'm just doing a plug for my website. We'll get into talking with you, but I just want to remind people again, under 100 minutes now, about 96 minutes to go for you to get those $19.99 prices on the Phil Henry Show website. Go ahead.
It sounded to me like...
What's so funny? What's so funny?
I'm sorry. I was going to laugh. It sounded to me like you're doing Jerry Lewis.
You mean the muscular dystrophy?
Yeah. You remember that man, what's his name, Jerry Lewis, right?
Yeah.
He come on the TV and now they said they couldn't do it. And he's talking about muscular dystrophy. I laughed my, oh God, I used to laugh. Not the muscular dystrophy is not funny, I'm not saying that. I used to look at that man, Jerry Lewis. I think he's a funny man. And I'm very sorry for the things that he's gone through. But you have been there, you sound like that.
God, I've known you a long, I've never heard you laughing that hard.
Oh, stop that.
What are you talking about? Woman up the man, nigga, joke. Can I laugh?
Stop that. Start acting like a man.
I am a man. Don't tell me I laugh like a man.
Yeah, start acting like a gentleman.
Oh.
All right, Pastor Renick, let's talk a little bit about this. The idea that you're selling forgiveness, okay?
I'm not selling forgiveness, Bill. I wish you would understand. I'm not selling forgiveness. I'm asking people to donate. If they come to me and they say, Pastor Renick, I cheated on my wife. I had intimate relations with another woman. Pastor Renick, I cheated on my husband. I had intimate relations, and I had an intimate relation with another man. And Pastor Renick, I feel bad about that. I feel depressed. I feel lonely. I feel I've cut myself off from God. And I say to them, let's pray. You and I together, we're going to pray. And I feel that God will forgive you. And I want to forgive you. In order for me to forgive you, I'm not God. In order for me to forgive you, I need a tithing. And they'll say, well, how much is a tithing?
I was going to ask you that. What do they pay?
Well, hold on. Say, I need a tithing. If you want me to forgive the fact that you cheated on your wife. Cheated on your wife?
Right.
On your wife! You understand me? You spend a lot of time talking, Phil. I love you very much. But you spend a lot of time talking. I want you to listen to me. The man cheated on his wife. The very trust and love that woman give him. And who knows? Maybe that woman give him life, the lives of children. Maybe that woman give him 2-3 children. And what did he do with that? I'll tell you what he did with it. He went out and got himself a good time with another woman. A good time. There you go talking again. A good time with another woman. Now, how much do you think forgiving a sin like that is worth?
I don't think their money, it doesn't translate.
It doesn't translate? What does that mean, it doesn't translate? For how much do you think a man's peace of mind is worth?
I don't know.
If it was you.
I would not feel, if I came to you, Pastor Renick, if I had cheated on a wife, or cheated on my wife, and I came to you, and I said, I feel really bad, Pastor Renick, I cheated on my wife, I feel really horrible, and you said to me something along the lines of, well, you know what, Phil, tell you what we're going to do. If you give me $20, or you give me $30, then we'll pray together, and I'm sure God will forgive you. I wouldn't feel good.
What are you talking about coming to me?
Yes.
Why wouldn't you feel good?
It wouldn't feel like I was forgiven.
Why not? If I told you I'm going to forgive you, I'm going to forgive you, and I know God's going to forgive you. I can't speak for God. But I'm standing here. I'm wearing the collar. I got the whole, in other words, I've got the symbolism of God himself. And all you got to do is lay $20, $30. And I'm not going to say it that way. What we're talking about, Phil, is helping immigrants. I say, if you give me $30 to help the illegal Mexican immigrant, then I know God's going to forgive you for cheating and for wallowing in the muck and wallowing in the filth of what you've done.
It still wouldn't feel right.
Well, you know something? You're not a Christian. I know you say you don't go to church.
I don't go to regular church, no.
But you don't even know what I'm talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about, Phil.
All right, hold on. 877-876 Phil is the number here. Do you any of you out there believe you can pay for your sins to be forgiven? I don't know. Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Talk much?
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Now, if you're looking at Phil TV and HD, above me is the graphic that says, we want to thank you for being a first-generation BSP. Still time to be one if you are not. Now, if you're not one, you're not looking at Phil TV and HD unless you have someone who is showing you our video cast tonight. Midnight is the deadline. So if you do not have a backstage pass and you still want to have a $19.99 price on that backstage pass, my friends, you got to go grab it right now. Midnight is the cutoff. There won't be any more after that. However, after midnight, we will give you a free tour of the website. You can take a look at what we've got to offer. And we have more to offer than any other radio show's website in the history of radio show websites. And what does that mean? We got audio. We've got audio. We got radio shows. We got a 5-day video cast archive, yes. But we've got audio and we've got radio shows and we got some of the funniest stuff that has ever been invented, created, or ever is likely to be. All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. On the line with me is Pastor William Renick from Joyful Union Congregation in Dallas, Texas tonight for a Grace of God conclave. Your church is there representing Pastor Renick. To create something along the lines of what you call tidings, that is people giving money so that, and I understand the money is for immigrants.
That's the most important thing, Phil. I mean, I want to be able to forgive, and I will forgive your sin. I mean, I'm not God, but look, I'm a pastor, and as such, I'm closer to God than the average person, so if you say, please forgive me, and I say, all right, I forgive you, that goes a long way,
But that's not really being forgiven. Am I going to get to heaven? In other words, in the Catholic Church, we believe...
Well, I'm not talking Catholic Church right now. Hey, look, I'm not selling... I don't like the way you say selling forgiveness. I'm not doing that. I am saying... I am, but I'm not saying to you, if you're on your deathbed, okay, you're forgiven, you're going to heaven. I would never dare do that. And I know, and God bless the Catholic priest, but that's what they're saying. They're saying, okay, I'm going to bless you. You dead, and you're going to go to heaven. Well, what if you wake up in hell?
Pastor.
What if you wake up in hell? Now, you got a Catholic priest say to you, I bless you, everything good. You going to heaven. Thank you very much. Goodbye, good night, you're gone. You die. You open your eyes, what do you see? What do you see?
I
see that man with a pointed tail and one of them pitchforks, and it's all on fire, and they got a barbecue pit going. You think maybe you're getting the idea? You think you're in heaven then?
Pastor,
do you think you're in heaven if you see a guy with a pointed tail? That's what I'm talking about, Phil.
Let me take a phone call here. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Richard in Chattanooga. Hi, Richard. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I particularly would like to speak to people who have congregations.
Richard is gone. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Scott. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show, Scott.
How you doing? I just wanted to comment
Yes, sir. On
the donation of money to forgive your sin. That is in
Yes, sir. No way
any relation. I mean, God will forgive you either way. If you can donate, that's great. If you do donate, that's great too. But
right.
You do not have to donate money to be forgiven.
Well, I'm not saying that you've got to donate money to be forgiven. What I'm saying is, if you want to be forgiven on, let's say, Tuesday at 3:30, if you Scott come to me and you say, Pastor Renick, I feel bad. I got, let's say, I got angry at my coworker. I got angry at my employee. And I said some things I wished I had not said. I committed a sin against my fellow man of anger, of rancor, of a lack of charity and compassion. And I said, well, let's sit down and pray about that. And I forgive you. Now, see what I'm saying? In other words, you know God's going to forgive you. But on his right. good time, see, you come over to my church, we can get it done. I got money for the immigrant.
What does that mean on God's own? Why can't he just pray about it right there?
He could pray about it right there, but he may be conflicted and may not mean it. He may not have, his heart may not be in it. He may need me to help him to facilitate the way with God. That's what I do. That's why I'm a preacher, see.
I go to a regular church. My family goes to a regular church. I don't go as often as I should. They go pretty well every Sunday.
And you go to a record church. What is that, a record church?
A Baptist
What's that?
Church. Southern Baptist Church.
And yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I can go to my preacher. If I call him up right now, I'm just getting off work. If I call him up right now and tell him I need to talk to him, he'd meet me on his front doorstep or my front doorstep, and then no money whatsoever. I mean, it's just, it's not.
What if he's out of town? What if he's out of town? What if he's out of town? What if he's not available? What if he's asleep? What if,
well, he's going to be awakened by this man.
What does that mean? He's going to be awakened.
If I was to call him right now, I guarantee you, and if
right.
I told him, said, I need to meet you right now, and I need help, he would open his door, I'd meet him on the front doorstep. Or
absolutely. He sounded like a good man. He sounded like a good man. He absolutely would. But how do you know he's not going to say, Scott, you know, you got me out of bed. And man, I'm not complaining, but what you going to do for me?
Well,
how do you know he won't say that?
Well, what does that mean? When has a preacher ever said something like that?
If he needs a new wing for the library, I don't know, but what would Scott say?
I can tell you this right
yes,
now.
Sir.
If my pastor
yes,
were to
sir.
Say that, the congregation
yes,
would know about it the following Sunday, and he would not
yeah.
be there the following Sunday.
So in other words, what you would do is you wrap this guy out just because he...
Wow.
What do you mean, rat him out? I mean,
that's not rat.
Why would you?
That's just and that is telling God's honest truth. I mean, he wouldn't be there.
That's got to
next
Sunday. Yes, sir. Well, sir, I understand that, Scott. You're a good man. I can
right,
tell
buddy.
You're a good man. But let me just say something. Let me say this. We got a lot of people are coming over the border, and they need. Now, I know they're not legal. I know they're illegal. Okay. But they're God's children, and they're cold, and they're hungry, and they need a clothing, and they need, wheels. They got to get a car. They got to get a home and an education, and they need to purchase the things they like, you know, if they want to get a swing set or something for the kid, a jacuzzi. And
we're talking about just what they need.
What they need. If I said to you, Scott, hold on. If I said to you, Scott, I'm not asking money for me. I'm not asking money for my church. I'm asking you, Scott, let's kneel down, let's pray. Can you lay $50 on me for these people? You're telling me no?
I don't understand. I don't think that gives the man a choice.
Will you let the man speak for himself, sir? I'm trying to let Scott speak for himself.
No, I got to jump in as the host. I have to just say, how does that leave Scott any choice if you lay some kind of a guilt trip on him? Okay, Scott, we prayed about your problems. Boom, ba boom, ba boom. Really hope you feel better. Yes, I do. Okay, now, could you lay some bread on me?
I didn't say lay some. What do you think I'm doing? You think I got some beatnik coffee house? I said...
You said, how about, what are you going to do for me? How about $50?
Well, let me ask Scott. Are you going to feel...
It sounds like you're charging to get saved. That's what it sounds like. And it just doesn't...
No way.
Right.
No way. No, I'd never do that.
Oh, yes, that's what it sounds like to me. And if it isn't, then you got to put it a different way. Hey, Scott, thanks so much for your call this evening. I appreciate that very much. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. You know what I'm saying, Pastor Rennick? We'll go to another phone call, but I want to clear this up.
What you're trying to clear up, Phil, is what you're trying to do, and I understand this, but you are not coming from the Spirit. You're not coming from the Holy Spirit. I come from the Holy Spirit. You're coming from, I've got a radio show, and I've got to make everything look, you know, do-do-do-do-do and the funky chicken, too. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying.
I'm saying you got to be an entertainer. I'm talking about the very soul of man. I'm talking about the very soul of man himself. The very soul that God sent his only son to save. If I say to Scott, or I say to you, or anybody, I'm gonna kneel with you, I'm going to pray, I'm gonna forgive you. And I can guarantee you, I'm certain God will forgive you. But you got to scratch my back.
And that isn't going to work.
What do you mean it's not going to work?
It's not going to work with me. It's going to offend me.
If I said to you, I need some money for some Mexicans.
If you said that would offend me too.
I'm talking about the immigrants.
If you said I need money for the immigrants, I would say, thank you very much for your help, Pastor. Now, let's talk about the immigrants.
That's all I'm saying.
No, you're not saying that. You are coupling it with this plea or this pitch for forgiveness. The number is 1-800, or excuse me, our number 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to, it's Danny. Hi, Danny, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
This sounds like a Ponzi scheme to me.
Ma'am, how's that a Ponzi scheme? A Ponzi scheme is when you take money from the lower rung and it all goes to the top. I'm giving the money to Mexican immigrants. Those people are not at the top, they're at the bottom.
No, you don't know where I am.
The lowest of the low.
And I don't have insurance, and I'm going to ask you to forgive me of a sin. Who are you? You think you're God?
No, I am not God, ma'am. No, I am not God. I know I'm not God. I beg your pardon, ma'am. I'm simply God's humble servant. I have been a minister. I passed the theological college. I got my doctorate in theology. I became a pastor of the Trust Union Congregation
in Southern.
Well, you know, you unemployed, I can guess why.
No, you don't listen.
You
want me to pay
I know you're unemployed because you probably mouth off too much. You mouth off too much.
You're not a pastor.
How do you know?
Because I can tell.
And you know something?
Wait a minute. You think God?
You don't even have no job. How do you don't even have no job? You sound like you want to tell me? I've got a job.
I'm not.
You know?
Yeah, but your job.
To forgive them for sins. That's not your job. You're making judgment.
You can't do that. You're not a minister. You didn't go to theological college. I did. I went to Bible college.
Alabama is the most powerful, strongest illegal alien immigration law in the country, and we're proud of it. You want to reward people for breaking the law. No, go across the border. Get a job. Live in your own country. Come over here.
Now I've heard it all. You're a Christian, and you're speaking that way of your fellow man.
You're a hypocrite.
Now I've heard it all.
I'm a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite.
You're the hypocrite. You call yourself a Christian, and you want
to
treat Mexicans
like the
Romans treated the Christians of old. You want to treat the Mexicans the same way the Romans treated the Christians back in the day. That's what you want
to
do.
You don't have the right to forgive me.
Somebody got to forgive you.
God forgive you.
Because
God, be God, not
through. Yes, that's exactly. God through me forgives you.
No, that's all I'm saying. And
you come to me
God.
And you say, Pastor, I didn't claim to be God. I didn't claim to be God. I'm saying you come to me and you say to me, Pastor Renick, I don't have a job. I mouthed off. They fired me. They threw me out.
I didn't get
something's wrong with my life.
Mouthed off? You don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you sound, I'm taking a wild guess, but did you mouth off? Tell me the honest truth. Did you mouth off to somebody?
Well, wait a minute.
No, I did not. You're assuming. And you know what that means.
Well, how'd you lose your job? If you don't mind me asking.
I live in a part of the country where economically we're not doing too well down here. Real estate's up, bad, and all kind of things, just like the rest of the country. What are you doing?
Yeah, Not everybody in Alabama's out of a job.
No, I didn't say that.
You got to understand, if you mouth off to the man, man's going to put you on the street. You're going down the road, you know.
The lady has already said she didn't mouth off to anybody. Basically, Pastor Renick, what people are finding fault with is the idea that they must give you money in order for you to say... This lady's saying, I think, the notion that you can forgive...
Of course I can forgive. We can forgive each other as human beings. Of course we can.
I'm not paying you $20 to forgive me for sin. I might.
I'm not asking that. I'm asking... This is what I'm saying. I'm saying, all right, I just forgave you. I mean, I didn't forgive you, but I forgive you. And God, I'm sure we'll forgive you. Now let's talk about the Mexicans that need a green card. I don't know what they need, a green card or something.
You don't even know.
Have you got $20? Do you have $20?
Not to give illegal aliens and lawbreakers, no.
In other words, you do have $20, though.
I will spend
it. You're telling me all about your problems.
Illegal citizens in my country, I will give it to my church.
You can't.
My church that will help legal.
That's
citizens.
Exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. Give it to the church, and then they give it to the Mexican.
Yeah, but she's giving it to the church.
I don't go to a church lawbreakers.
I'm asking Phil Henry. I want to ask Phil Henry. Just would you shut up for a minute?
What are you telling me to shut up for?
I'm trying to tell this lady something. If you give that money to your church, after I said to you, you are forgiven for your infidelity, whatever you did, what's the difference? You go out and you have sex with another man. And you come to Pastor Renick, you say, oh, my God, I did something sinful. I said, you are forgiven because the blood of the Lamb forgives you. Have you got $50?
I'm not believing what I'm hearing.
Well, you were laughing at me, Pastor Renick.
When?
At the beginning of the hour, you were laughing at me. You said I sounded like I was doing the MD telethon.
That's right.
Are you kidding me? This woman sits here and goes, because I'm trying to raise money for people that are dying in the desert of Mexico.
They don't need to come across the border then. They need to stay where they are. What's wrong with you?
You know something? When I hear a voice like yours, I think of that movie, Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte. You remember that movie, Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte? You remember that? It was Alfred Hitchcock. It was a great movie. And at the end of the movie, guess what happened? A head come down the stairs.
That sounds like a threat.
Wow, that's really...
Yeah, that's right. No, it's not a threat.
The clown.
All right, I got to take a break.
you think of Cisco the Clown?
No, Bozo the
Hold
Clown.
On.
You don't hear well, do
Hold
you?
On for... Hold on for a minute, but...
No, you said Cisco the Clown, and there ain't no...
I didn't say
there's nobody
Cisco
like that.
The Clown.
Yes, you most certainly did, ma'am. You said Cisco the Clown. I've never heard it. I see, you live in Mexico more than me. Maybe in Mexico they got Cisco the... No, you said in Mexico... How come you know so much about Mexico? Talk about Cisco the Clown.
She didn't say Cisco. She said Bozo the Clown. Bozo. All right, listen, thank you so much, Danny. I appreciate your call. 877-876-PHIL. People are going to laugh at you. You laughed at me.
Oh, look at Phil. This is not about you laughing at me.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. This is it is suspiciously like paying for forgiveness. Pastor William Renick, who asks for what he calls tidings, money, for forgiveness, which he then gives to the immigrant community, the illegal immigrant community, to help them. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Radio for Patriots. Hi, Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
He said, Cisco the Clown.
To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
66 minutes left for you to take advantage of the current subscription price for the Phil Henry Show website. This is a price that we have had since 1999. Can you imagine that? 12 years we've never raised the price on our subscription for the Phil Henry Show website. A Phil Henry Show website gives you more audio, gives you more great entertainment, gives you more great radio than any other single radio show website in the history of the human race. We've got thousands of hours of archive material. We've got archived rants. We've got archived webisodes. We've got archived TV appearances, radio interviews. We have our blog. We have our comments section. We have any number of things, a daily podcast that you can get at philhenryshow.com. So you've only got about 66 minutes left to take advantage of the first generation price on our website. And that is the $19.99 price, man. I can't believe. And, you know, when somebody said to me, we haven't raised the price in 12 years, all of a sudden that just struck me as just nuts. Pastor William Renick is on the line with us from Dallas, Texas, and we're talking about the selling of salvation. And
I think that's very unfair, Phil.
All right, and we can continue to talk about that. But the fact is, you are saying to people, I'll pray with you, I'll forgive you. Now let me talk to you about the needs of the immigrant community.
I'm selling salvation. And
would you pray with me if I didn't have $50 to give?
If you did not have $50 to give me for the immigrant community you're talking about?
Yeah.
Then I would have to question whether you are truly sincere. And here's why. Here's why. Let me say this. You say to me, Pastor Renick, please forgive me. I've committed a sin. I had sex with another woman. You know how harsh and how hard and how rough and how uncivilized that sounds? And I'm going to kneel down. I'm going to try to pray to God. I've got to intercede with God to say to God, this man next to me broke his wedding vow. And he had illicit relation with another woman that was not his wife. And he wanted me to intercede on his behalf. And God said to me, what is this man doing for his fellow man? And I turned to that man and said, are you going to help your fellow man? See, you call it selling. I call it justice. And that woman, oh, come on, man. Is that the end of the hour?
That's the end of the hour. I'm sorry. We got to take a break. Hold on. You know, Pastor, maybe we'll stretch it into another hour.
What do you mean stretch it?
Hold on, and maybe we'll go to another hour. All right, so right now you got about 4 minutes left to take advantage. Not 4 minutes. You got 64 minutes left. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876. Phil.
Phil Hendry. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're here every night, Monday through Friday, until 1 a.m. on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and, of course, coming up tonight, tomorrow night at 7, we are live on our video cast and live locally on KFI Radio in Los Angeles, but we are always with our Phil TV in HD as we are tonight. And you have 55 minutes, by my reckoning, 55 minutes, and let me just double-check that. I'm getting messages here. 55 minutes before Pacific Daylight Time, before midnight Pacific Daylight Time, and that is the end of our 1999 price, and that means that before that 55 minutes is up, if you get a backstage pass, you're a member of our first generation of BSP holders, and that price is yours for good. Because at midnight, the price goes up. So I would suggest between now and midnight, you head on over to our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And take a little perusal and get yourself a BSP. Now, at midnight tonight, the price does go up. But we're also going to be featuring at midnight tonight for 3 days what we call our three-day free Phil weekend. That's right. Beginning at midnight Pacific Daylight Time all the way till 1 a.m. Tuesday morning Pacific Daylight Time, we're going to have three free days. You can stream everything on the website, our video archives. You can stream the video cast live. You can take a look at everything that we have, including the daily podcast, I think. I don't know about the podcast, but because it is a limited free option, but you'll be able to stream everything there on the site. Beginning at midnight. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. I have Pastor William Renick on the line tonight with us as we talk about, he's in Dallas and he's at the Grace of God Conclave, which is a congregation not unlike the Pentecostals, talking about something called tithings, which is to give money to your individual congregation, give money to your individual pastor, kneel and pray for forgiveness of a sin. That money, by the way, will go to the illegal immigrant community to support them. And people are saying, and I think rightfully so, you're paying for forgiveness. You don't have the right, Pastor Renick, to disseminate or forgiveness. Only God does. And the whole thing, as that one lady said, sounds like a Ponzi scheme. Now, I know you said that it wasn't, and you argued her off of that point. You're going to have to reiterate your case here because there's just I don't hear a lot of people buying it, you know?
You know, I want to tell you something. I heard when you say to me that there's not a lot of people buying, it's almost as if I'm trying to sell a bill of goods. I am not trying to sell a bill of goods at all. What I come on your program tonight to talk about, and what I've said from the very beginning, I'm not trying to gussy it up. I'm not clothing it in anything other than what it is. I'm not trying to say anything other than what I'm trying to say, which is the following thing. I will pray with you, and I will forgive you your sin. God also has to weigh in, and he need to forgive you. But I'm very confident that he will. If you can see your way clear to a tithing, can you see the tithing? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but seeing the tithing means giving money.
I didn't say that. You're saying that.
But that's what it means.
If that's what it means, yes. The money that goes to the immigrant community, the money that goes to the illegal immigrant community, people that are treated less than the Christians were treated by the Romans. And I said that to that lady. And I know it. That when I said that to that one lady, I could tell that there was some guilt, because when I said you want to treat the illegal immigrant worse than Caesar treated the Christian, she's all laughing and ha ha ha. She don't want to talk about it. And
well, you were laughing at me at the beginning of the hour as I was pitching my website.
You sounded to me, it sounded like Jerry Lewis. And then the lady said something that I cannot forgive. She talked about Cisco the Clown.
And she was talking about Bozo the Clown. She said so.
No, in Mexico, if you've ever been to Mexico, I've been to Mexico. In every part of the day, I've been in Mexico in the morning time. They have a man there named Cisco the Clown. He ain't funny. He never been funny. And we have a saying in our church, say, you know, Bozo the Clown, but Cisco no clown. But she brought that up for a reason. She brought that up to humiliate the illegal immigrant by bringing up Cisco no clown.
And well, all right, you know what? I can't discuss that. I don't know anything about that, okay? All I know is what it is that I'm hearing here and what people are hearing. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, hold on for a minute. You don't know what people are hearing.
I know what people are telling me. 877-876-PHIL is our number, and we're talking here to Pastor William Renick about this idea of tithing, which is to give money for forgiveness, the money going to the illegal immigrant community. Here is Kim. Kim, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Statements that I wanted to make in reference.
Yes, ma'am.
I think it sounds like to me he's taking the role of being a mediator, and he's not a mediator. The Bible tells you to pray to and you ask forgiveness of your sins to Jesus Christ.
Right.
He's not Jesus Christ.
I know I'm not.
That's correct. You're not Jesus Christ, so you can't, you know, take on that position. And everyone out here has the same, has the same opportunity to pray to God and to have their own relationship with God. You stated that you were closer to God and you definitely could represent individuals and ask for forgiveness. Well, that's an assumption. You can't base your relationship with God with anyone else just because you have a theological degree. That type of attitude comes actually from who? You look in the Bible, the scribes and the Pharisees. That's exactly, to me, that's what this sounds like.
Let me say, God, and you know,
you know.
Yeah, sir? But you know that God, when Jesus was praying in Gethsemane, who did he leave at the gate to tell him, you know, to protect him? Peter.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what I'm doing. I'm at the gate.
You're at the gate.
And
it sounds like you're focusing, and I'm sure you're not, just on one race, because I keep hearing Mexico. I mean, that sounds like a point.
I'm talking about illegal immigrants. Yeah, man. That's right.
Now, the next point, if we're looking at illegal immigrants, and you quoted, I'm glad you did. You said Caesar, things to Caesar. If you were going to pay Caesar, things to Caesar, God said to obey the law. The law does say it's prohibited. They are illegal. So if we're going to pay Caesar things to Caesar and God things to God.
Well, ma'am, I'm not trying to give them no green card. I'm not trying to. All I'm doing is I'm feeding them. I'm clothing them. These are people are hungry and wet and dirty and tired. I don't think it's against the law. I cannot be arrested for giving a man a drink of water.
No, that's correct.
That's right.
I can't be arrested
for giving a man a diaper. If he needs a diaper, not him, but his baby needs a diaper.
Right.
See?
A Christian or anybody individually should want to give from their heart and give.
That's right.
Now, you're a person who's saying representing God, I would like to say I thought your attitude with the caller from Alabama, I mean, she might, you displayed an arrogant disposition or whatever, but if you were a person giving help, you would have said, well, let me make sure I pray and give comfort because you don't have a job. she's right. We are in a bad economy. There's a lot of people. Not because
yeah, but
of
you know what? I had a sense that she needed to be reminded of the fact that she got. She said you just sent her down the road because she's mouthing off. You know. And
no, but she never said she got sent down the road because she was mouthing off.
Right.
You said yeah.
Well, no, but I mean, sometimes let me tell you what compassion is. Compassion is it's giving people what they need. Sometimes
right.
compassion means they need a prayer. Sometimes they need a swift kick in the ass. You know what I'm saying?
And but that's the language I'm talking about, Pastor, that you use. And
what language? You know what? I give it to them rough and I give it to them hard because I want it to stick.
Really?
You know, Pastor said
Bible,
that.
What the Bible say in Proverbs? Yeah, you shouldn't. And actually, well, you shouldn't let a bad word for
you know, I got to get going. This lady, you've had this lady on the phone. This lady has been on the air a long time, Phil.
I'll do the show. I know what I'm doing.
Well, what'd you
say?
Blah, 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 blah. I said blah, blah. You know, you just... Well, yeah, I mean, I'm done.
You know, see, this is exactly what the lady's talking about, though. You don't exhibit a very charitable nature. Why didn't you say to the guy with the guy? The lady that lost her job, why didn't you say, I'll pray for you?
How do you know I'm not praying for it? Do you want me to come out and say, I'll pray for you so everybody's going to kiss behind in and say, oh, look at how wonderful Pastor Rennick is? Maybe in my heart I'm praying for her. Maybe in my soul I'm praying for her.
Well,
or maybe in my heart
so
in my
soul, can be comforted
even though she watched
so
Cisco the Clown, which was an offense to every Mexican out there.
All right. Anyway, thank you very much for your call, Kim. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Here is David. David, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Pastor William Rennick. Go ahead, please. Oh, you know what, David? If you wouldn't mind, hang on. We will get to you in just a moment. We're going to take a break. And
well, I got a couple of things.
And we're going to take a break. 877-876-PHIL. And there are 45 minutes left until the midnight hour. 45 minutes left to become a first-generation Backstage Pass member, and then the midnight hour arrives, and it's a whole new day. But we're going to have our three-day free Phil weekend, too, coming up at philhenryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and welcome back here. Radio for Patriots by Patriots, news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And about 41 minutes left here to get a backstage pass at our $19.99 subscription price. With me is Pastor William Rennick. We were going to go to a caller here, David, and we'll get him back on the line. Hi, David. Thanks for hanging on. You're with Phil Henry and Pastor William Rennick. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Frankly, I would like to say that all you're doing is manipulating the Word of God to benefit yourself and your cause. And your cause is for illegal immigrants, which is breaking the law. Therefore, you are, how should I say this, you're helping out a group that is going against God.
And wait. If I give a man a drink of water that's dying of thirst and need of clothing, and you say these Mexicans are going against God, I dare say, sir, you should ask them. They're some very religious people. They go to church.
But they're violating the law. So they're violating the law. What about that?
Who is?
The people coming over the border are violating the law.
Am I to judge them? Am I to judge them? Are you telling me now that you tell me that I can't pray with somebody, but now I'm supposed to judge a man to the point where I don't give him any food, I don't give him no water, I don't give him nothing to wear? That's what you asking me to do now.
You just said
first. You tell me.
You just said earlier when you were talking to.
Well, we lost the caller. Do you want to answer it?
Answer what?
Answer the man what he said.
I will reiterate what I said. What I said is the following thing. I said that people are telling me I can't judge a man. And yet, they asked me to judge a Mexican to come over the border from Mexico who may need a drink of water. He might need a pair of pants to wear. He might need something to eat.
Well,
hold on, I'm not done yet. Hold on. Phil, I noticed you interrupt.
It's my show.
I know it's your show. I know it's your show. I'm helping you out right now. I'm giving you a hand right now. I'm going to tell people, you know, where it's at. And they're gonna listen to me, and they're going to stay listening to your radio show because of that. Now, what do you think about that?
And if you keep talking about Cisco the Clown as opposed to Bozo the Clown and a lot of other stuff...
That happens to be solid gold information that I got firsthand. Now, let me just say something. What's that mean? What's that?
Don't give me the solid gold information firsthand. And
I want to say to you this. If I help out an illegal immigrant, I'm doing God's work. I can't believe a Christian man just called up and said, when you help out an illegal immigrant, I may be breaking the law, I don't know, but he said that I'm breaking God's law. Then he said to me that illegal immigrant is breaking God's law. I'm not going to stand in judgment of that man. And I'm sure not going to stand in judgment of that man and not give him something to eat. I'm not going to stand in judgment of that man and not give him something to drink. And I'm sure not going to stand in judgment of that man if he needed to not give him a diaper.
And what do you mean a diaper?
And I hope, what? What are you talking about?
What do you mean a diaper?
What are you talking about? I'm in the middle of preaching. What are you saying?
You said you're not going to stand in judgment of the guy and...
What if this kid need a diaper is what I'm saying. God almighty. Why did you just keep a lid on it, man? Stick a sock in it for 5 seconds. 5 seconds. That man might need something to drink. That man might need something to eat. And maybe that man been eating out of a diaper. Have you ever thought about that, Phil? I know it sounds disgusting.
Oh, come on, will you?
No, I know it's disgusting. But you don't understand what some people got to go through. I'm going to give that man a diaper for his child, but you better believe something. As God is my witness, and as all the angels are lined up to witness what I'm saying, you better believe I'm not going to give him a loaded diaper. No way! So if I give that man a helping hand, I give a man a helping hand as he trudges across the sand. Because that's God's plan, to give a man a helping hand. I don't expect you to slam the plan and the demand.
Will you stop this, okay? I understand what you're saying. You're talking about helping a guy out if he's in need. But that man is breaking the law by being in this country. And that, according to the people that have called, and I agree with them, if you are a Christian, you don't break the law because you render to Caesar. Okay?
Well, okay. I don't know, man. I don't read the Bible that much. All I'm trying to tell
you... Oh, you don't read the Bible that much.
No, I don't. No, I don't. You want to know why? Because I go on my gut instinct. Every morning I wake up, I say, God, what do you think? And I hear him. He goes, well, I'm not going to tell you what he says to me, because it's none of your business. None of your beeswax would God say to me. But I'll say to him, God, today I'm going to this and that and something else. He'll say, I'll see, you got it, man. And I'm out the door. Now people say, what did God say to you? And I'll say to them, that's none of your beeswax.
All right, let me get Father McQuarters on the line here. Father James McQuarters, if you don't mind.
Oh, not that pain in the...
Yeah, that's right. That pain in the... Father McQuarters is at Belmar Academy. We only got a couple of minutes here. Father McQuarters, how are you doing?
Phil, I'm fine. I want to say to you, William, that you're not doing yourself or anyone any good by speaking the way that you speak. And I heard what you said as I come on the radio here. I said, you know what I said? I said, let me say something here. And you've been talking all through this show. And you let me talk. I'm going to let you talk, Father. I'm going to let you talk. When Phil Henry said you coming on, and I'm trying to say things for my church, I've listened to you for a whole hour, and I've heard you misrepresent God's word, and I've heard you misrepresent the act of tithing and the thing you call tithing, which is not in the Bible at all. You are the people that taught me. You're the Catholic Church, the one that... God, call me you people either. Now, I want to say some things, Phil, if you've got some time for me.
Of course.
I've been sitting here and I've been listening to this man for an hour, and I know Pastor William Rennick. He's a good man. And he's done a lot of good work. But I know what he's trying to do now. He's trying to line his pockets a little bit because he's planning a trip to Las Vegas. I heard all about it.
That is a lie! That's a filthy lie!
Did you not tell You told Father Staley you're going to Las Vegas because of the rodeo. Didn't you say that? I said I was going to go see the rodeo. Yeah, don't you think I know how to look at a newspaper? Don't you think I know how to look at a newspaper? Yes. Well, it happens to be in Las Vegas.
Well, what's wrong with the rodeo?
Oh, come on. He's not going to the rodeo. He's saying, well, I'm going to go to the rodeo because it's going to be in Vegas. You know what you're doing in Vegas, don't you? I know what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be saving people. Okay? I'm not going to be touching little boys. Thank you and good night. Why, you... Is he there?
No, he's not there. He hung up.
You know something, Dad? I almost said the N-word.
This is the second week...
What are you laughing at? What are you laughing at?
I'm sorry.
That man, under the guise of trying to help the illegal Mexicans, is going to line his pocket with money and he's going to go to Las Vegas during rodeo week and tell everybody that's why he's going, because he wants to see the rodeo. He's not going to see the rodeo. The rodeo he's going to, the bareback riding he's going to be looking at. Let me tell you something. It starts at 11 o'clock at night at the Olympic Gardens. I almost said the N-word. That is how angry he got me. I almost called him a no-count, swamp-running...
Okay, did you dump him?
Yeah, I did.
That doesn't mean you dump him, Don. That means we're fake dumping him. All right.
We mean fake dumping him.
Never mind. Pastor William Rennick and Father James McQuarters, I don't know. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have 32 minutes before the midnight hour to get a backstage pass at our $19.99 price. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
How dare you?
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we have, by my reckoning, very, very roughly 37 minutes before the midnight hour here on the West Coast. That is Pacific Daylight Time, and that is the deadline for you to get your backstage pass to the Phil Henry Show website at our $19.99 price. Now, what we mean by that is we have not had a price increase since 1999. We wouldn't be beating you over the head with this as much as we are, but the fact is, if you're going to listen to a radio show and get your money's worth, get value, our radio show, which features thousands of hours of archive material, that is the first generation quality. So you're listening to audio that is first-generation quality audio. You're watching a five-day video archive. You're watching the live video cast. You're listening to the live podcast. All of these things, first-generation. And, of course, you are the first to know and the first to hear of any Phil Henry Show news that is happening. Now, the reason why we tell you that this is a great value is because our radio show and the material that we produce is in such high demand. Believe it or not. You may have just stumbled on our show. If you've just stumbled on our radio show, you have stumbled into a universe, man, you don't even know the half of it.
Stuff we gotta deal with.
I'll talk about it, bud. Don't worry. You don't even know the half of what we deal with around here. People want our show. They want the audio to the... Now, I'm not talking about necessarily the radio industry, because the radio industry is in deep, deep trouble. I mean, I love radio, but the radio industry is in deep, serious trouble. But our show is such that, literally, folks, I make a living off of the Internet. I make a better living off the Internet than I do off the radio show, off of the actual broadcast of the radio show. And the reason for that is we have a highly unique product. We got people that are crawling over top of each other, doing twists and all kinds of gymnastic twists and flips to get a hold of the audio of our show. I have hired copyright and trademark attorneys to keep the wolf at bay. So, be a member of our family and join us and become a monthly Backstage Pass subscriber, or if you want 6 months, or if you'd like a year. Now, at the $19.99 price, you have now 25 minutes. After 10 o'clock tonight, yes, the price will go up, but we're also featuring a three-day free-fill weekend for people that may want to peruse it and take a look at what we have to offer. Well, you have at it, brother. Have at it. Starting at midnight tonight. I mean, it's just, there's so much stuff going on, you know, Robert?
Yeah, I was saying today, man, I left the house to talk to my aunt, you know, and I said I may not be back for a while, you know, because Phil's rolling out the new, and she's, like, nervous, packing me all kind of food, you know, and everything.
Yeah, I'm sitting there eating it.
Well, what do you expect them to do?
Yeah, what do you expect them to do, not eat it?
Yeah, but you're not supposed to get a pizza juice in everything.
He ain't getting pizza juice over anything. You're the guy that gets the pizza juice.
One time is all I done it.
One time. So anyway, join us at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. By the way, if you're a Twitter freak, I just say just in passing here, we're on Twitter at twitter.com/therealphilhenry, not the. That's twitter.com/realphilhenry. Speaking of you, Robert, we have now, oh, is this Justin? I want to get this young man on the phone. Could you just go to line three, please? I want to get Justin McElroy on the phone with me right now. Who is, you graduated early from high school, is that right, Justin? Justin McElroy?
Yes, sir.
You graduated early, huh?
No, I haven't, sir. I'm still attending Canyon High School, but I did take a job in Swinton's, which is in Chatsworth. It's a bookstore.
And okay, so you've got is it a full-time job?
It's 6 hours a day, so I'm because of the modular schedule that we have at Canyon High School, I'm able to take a lighter load of classes.
When you say a modular schedule, is this like a high school, but you're using a college type scheduling?
Yes, sir. It's for students who have achieved a certain academic level. We're able to pick our classes and the time that we have our classes, similar to college, not 100%. But because of that, I've been able to take a job and work in retail, which is really what I'm kind of interested in doing, eventually owning my own retail business.
And so tell me about your job. You're working at Swinton's now. Are you still on the school board? Are you still an elected representative of the students in the prefecture?
No, sir. I'm just, right now, I'm just, going to class. I'm working, and I'm waiting to attend UCLA next year.
All right. When you take a job in retail, as you say, and you were talking to Robert DeBud earlier, what are you learning?
Customer relations, I think, is the most important thing, and I think that's one of the things that's missing. And I heard what you were saying about customer relations and everything earlier, Mr. Henry, but I think that customer relations is important. I think a lot of people have a lot of questions. I also think that a lot of people can have their questions answered I'm a little bit nervous.
You're doing a lot easier.
Yeah, a lot easier than they do.
And give me an example of that.
We have a lot of people who will come into the store and they are asking about a book. Like, I had a lady today who was asking about some of Erica Jong's work.
Who is that?
Erica Jong.
Okay, yeah.
And I said to her that if you go on if you go on your computer and you go to Google, you're going to get all the questions answered, you know, and I tried to say it to her as respectfully as I could, and I think that's what's missing. There's a lot of not respectfulness, and that's what I'm trying to do in my job, and I've told my boss about that.
Well, hold on for a minute. You had someone come in asking you about an author, Erica Jong.
Yes, sir.
And what did you say to her? You said to just go look it up on Google?
Well, I think that a lot of time is wasted when you say to a customer, oh, yeah, Erica Jong, yeah, she was born this time.
What did the lady ask you?
Well, it wasn't like she didn't ask me where the books were, okay? If she asked me, for instance, where are your Erica Jong books, I would tell her over on those desks they've got a computer that you can look up the section that it's in, I guess, you know? And
all right, so in other words, what you see your job as is simply directing people to the right resource?
Well, in a lot of ways, yeah, because I think a lot of time had got lost, a lot of time had been lost, I'm sorry, when people would say, Erica Jong, do you know the name of this book or when this book come out? And people will go, oh, yeah, here, you know, let me look for it. And it takes a long time. I say to them, if you would go and look up Google, you would not have to ask, you know?
All right, well, okay, so you're saying to them, look up Google, or go to Google and look up these questions.
Yeah, and it really, it has never been done, I guess. I mean, it seems pretty obvious to me.
Well, all right, but I mean, if I go to a bookstore, I see what you're saying, but if I go to a bookstore, and there I am, okay?
Yeah, and you're looking for a book.
Yeah, and I'm looking for a book, and I say, could you tell me where the Shakespeare is?
Yeah, I'd say there's a book. There's a computer terminal right there. You could look it up.
Well, then what are you doing there?
I'm telling you to go look it up.
You're telling me to go look it up. So, in other words, there is no reason to have you there.
Well, yes, there is, because here's the thing that's happening. It seems pretty obvious to me and to other members of my generation, and it really is a generational problem, that if you want to know about a book or you want to know where a book is, you go to the computer and go to Google, and there it is. If you go to the bookstore and you want to know what section the book is in, you go to the computer and you go, yeah, Shakespeare. Oh, okay, it's in section so-and-so. That's pretty obvious to the people that I know and my people, and, you know, the people that I came up with and that are part of my, you know, clan or family, if you will. And
well, what do you mean? You're talking about your family.
Well, no, but I mean my generation. But I call them my clan or, you know, my people.
Okay, so you're talking about people your own age.
Yes, sir. But that's what's obvious to us is you go to Google and look it up, and there's the answer. You know, but to your generation and to your people and even to the younger ones, they don't get it. And that's why we're here, so that we can, I think, try to move people into the modern times as easily as possible and with as little disrespect, because I don't want to disrespect nobody. You know.
What makes you think, by the way, it's anybody, not nobody, excuse me.
Well, thank you, sir. I mean, I know that, Mr. Henry. I just said it because I felt like saying it, but I do have a GPA, and, you know, that's up around 4.0, so I know.
All right. Okay. I apologize, but
I know what the good grammar is and everything.
Okay, that's fine. But I want to ask you this. You don't want to be disrespectful. What makes you think you'd be disrespectful?
Well, it is very. I guess it's sort of irritating when I'm here in the store and a lady will come up and say, "Do you know what year this book came out?" And I'll say to her, I'll want to say to her, "Do you not have a computer where you can go to Google and everything?"
No, but see, here's the problem I'm having with that. If she
comes up to me and says, "Do you know what book this comes out?" I'll say, or I mean, "What year this book came out?" I'll say, "Yeah, you can look inside and look at the copyright." I mean, that is asking me to be rude. You know?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Well, I mean,
no, it's not. Let me tell you why. If there's people that don't really are not as hip as you, Justin,
it doesn't mean I'm hip. You know, I'm not a hipster because I know how to look up the copyright.
No, I know, but if there are people that don't know, are not as smart, are not as clued in, call it what you will, say of it what you wish, isn't it still your job to very patiently say, "Hey, you know what, that book came here, let's look together, I'll look at the copyright."
No, I don't mean to interrupt you, Mr. Henry, but that's the whole thing. I don't think time's wasting, and we've got too much wrong with this society right now, and there's just too much that's going on for people to not take responsibility for, go to a computer and look it up. Yeah, I mean,
but if you're standing in the store and a lady comes in, and if she has a question other than "Where is this Erica Jong book?" which I assume you're going to say, "There's a computer terminal, look it up."
No, I don't say it that way, sir. I'm very respectful. You know.
All right, even though you're tempted not to be, huh?
Well, yes, sir. It is. It is sort of asking me to be rude when you say, "Oh, where's the Erica Jong?"
And if you answer that the way you wanted to, what would you say?
Well, no, I would be polite. You know,
well, when you say you're tempted to be rude, how would you answer that if you were rude?
You see that a computer terminal? Hello? I mean, you know what those are for, right? go look it up. God, I mean, that's what I would say. But
you've never said that.
No.
All right, so someone comes in and they have a question other than where is the Erica Jong. They may ask what year. They may ask where was she born. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, they want to know more about the author. They want to know more about where the book was published or more about the publisher. And I'll say to them, yes, that's really a great question, and there are many questions like that that I have a lot of people ask me about. If you go to your home computer and you use a search, what search engine do you use? I'll usually ask them that, and they'll say, most people say Google, and some people say Yahoo or whatever. Or some other people may say something really weird, you know, like LexisNexis, and I'll say, like, you know what, I can't even deal with you. You know?
Why? Why do you say that?
It just bothers me that people use search engines that are inferior. Nobody uses them. They do it because they think they're special. And I'll just say to them, you know, get real and go use Google. But I mean, to an old lady, not old, but she was like in her 50s, I said to her,
she's a middle-aged lady.
A middle-aged lady. I'll say, yeah, if you go to your computer at home, there's Google, there's Yahoo, and you can find out about it there.
And what does she say?
Well, I mean, people generally know when you've told them, well, you know, you really got to get, you know, more intelligent about it. And they'll say, okay, and they'll back off.
All right, we're talking with Justin McElroy here about working in retail. He is a 17-year-old young man, and he says there's a very big generation divide when it comes to working in retail and when it comes to giving people information. There's very little patience that younger people have with us older people. They know to look at Google or Yahoo if they have a question. They know to look at the computer terminal in the bookstore or wherever, and we don't. And they're trying to hurry us along and get us up to speed on how the world works. I wonder if we're really losing our feel for just being polite. Or maybe this is the new polite. 877-876-PHIL. We've got 13 minutes to go before the top of the hour, Pacific Daylight Time, to get a backstage pass at those $19.99 prices. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
9 minutes left in this hour to the midnight hour, Pacific Daylight Time, for a backstage pass at our $19.99 price. 9 minutes left, and then we go to a new price structure, which is not going to be horribly inflated, folks. It's just we're bringing it up to contemporary standards. And that's kind of a weird way of saying we're bringing it up to the modern sort of times here a little bit, although we still think it's a deal for the thousands and thousands and thousands of hours that you get of archived radio, as well as the daily video cast, as well as our podcast, as well as so many other things, our news feed, our blogs, our comment sections, which can get pretty rowdy. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. Justin McElroy joining us here from Chatsworth, California. As we talk about this notion that we need to bring the older generation up to speed, you're talking, Justin, about working in a bookstore. And if somebody says, can you tell me about this book? And you say, haven't you got Google?
I mean, yeah, you know, they're going to ask it. These are questions, Mr. Henry, that I think are pretty antiquated questions. You know, I'm trying to say to the people that, like, your age or whatever, or like even, you know, in their 30s even, or 40s, I mean, people are really losing track of how to do things, and it's really putting a lot of pressure on my generation. I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be mean, but it puts a lot of pressure if a lady comes in and says, yeah, can you tell me, you know, like they do, where can I? And you just want to say, you know what? It's called a computer. It's called Google. Oh, my God, you know.
Well, then why would you work in retail, man, if you're...
Because I want to try to help people and not give vent to what I really want to do, which is to say, hey, Google the information? God!
All right, let me go to a phone call here from Glendale, California. We've got Vernon on the line. Mr. Dozier is actually a high school teacher.
That's great.
Well, hold on for a minute. Vernon, how are you?
You know something? I'm doing fine, Phil. Yeah, man, I heard that. That's great. I just heard that. And, well, I mean, just hold on for a minute, please, if you wouldn't mind. I'm a teacher. I think I know a little bit of how you're feeling. I'm a football coach, though, so really where my life begins and ends is on a football field.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to ask, could you help me, Phil, ask the young man to please... I'm a teacher. I understand you, but would you please shut your mouth?
Yeah, I'll shut my mouth, but I know what you're going to say.
Oh, really? Well, this ought to be good. What am I going to say?
You're going to tell me that I ought to be, you know, don't be rude, blah, 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 blah.
What is that supposed to mean, blah, blah, blah? That doesn't say anything.
That's not very descriptive.
Yeah, that's not descriptive.
Well, it means that he's going to start out saying, hi, I'm a high school teacher, and the rest of it's just going to say, blah, blah, blah. I mean, do you have a dog, sir?
Hold on, forget about whether I got a dog or not, okay?
Do you have a dog?
Forget about whether I've got a dog or not, all right? Now, I walk into a bookstore. Let me just tell you something, okay?
Yeah, I know. You're going to give me a big speech like my dad does.
Boy, I sure don't like it when people tell me what it is I'm about to do.
Really? What, are you going to have, like, a stroke or something?
All right, just be quiet. What do you want to say, Vernon?
If I walk into a bookstore and I say to somebody, I don't care who it is, I'd like to find a book.
You know, what kind of book?
I don't think I'm... All right, let's say you're the guy in the store.
Okay.
I'm walking in, and I want to buy a book.
Yeah?
And I walk up to you. Is that... You're the guy I walk up to?
I guess so. I mean, I'm the guy standing there.
All right, I'm asking you a polite question, okay? Are you the guy I walk up to or not?
Yeah.
Okay. And I go up to you, and I say, I'm looking for a book, and the book's name is a John F. Kennedy biography, okay?
What?
Are you hard of hearing, kid?
Well, I mean, you said you're looking for a book, and its name is a John F. Kennedy autobiography, okay. What does that mean?
Are you an idiot?
We have to break. I'm sorry we don't have more time.
Well, that is not fair, Mr. Henry. This punk!
Yeah, see, I knew you'd talk like that.
Well, did you expect me to talk any different when you come on like a punk?
Phil Henry.
You're just an idiot. You're just crazy.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we are here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome to our video cast, to those of you who are accessing our show tonight by way of our three-day Free Phil weekend. If you're looking at our video cast by way of our three-day Free Phil weekend, welcome. Welcome to the show. You can see that I'm sitting here. In our El Pacifico studio, over here to my right is Ted the Bear, and behind me is Buddy Bear. I made some statements about Buddy off the air that I cannot repeat.
Well, you said he takes bennies.
If I wanted to say that on the air, don't you think I'd say it on the air?
Yeah, man, shut up.
Well, that's what you said.
Okay, if I said it, and then I said I don't want to mention it on the air, didn't I? Didn't I?
Yeah.
In any event... So welcome to our program, and behind me you see the beautiful roiling surf of the El Pacifico, which is where our broadcast studios are located here, on the furthest western edge of this beautiful country called the United States of America. We like to sit out here on the western edge just as a sort of a sentry, just to guard the coast. Actually, we just like to take a dip every now and again. And so we're glad you're with us. Please feel free to stream all of the video, all of the audio, all of the rants, all of the podcasts, all of the this, all of the all of our webisodes, all of our television shows, all of our TV pilots, all of our TV appearances, all of our watch my TV, and as opposed to what Al Pacino said in that great movie Heat, you will not watch my television set. We don't feel that way around here at all. So anyway, 877-876-PHIL is the number. In the news, and by the way, Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard joining me here as part of our News and Information Hour. Robert, how are you doing?
I'm doing real good.
And by the way, I was going to have your aunt on the air this evening, but...
Well, can you call her an aunt? Sometimes you say an aunt.
I say aunt because that seems to be the prevalent pronunciation for people who are from the Southeast and the East Coast. I say aunt because that's what I grew up with.
Yeah, but I grew up with aunt because my aunt comes from South, South Carolina.
Yeah, I say aunt.
I say aunt, too. You're from California, right?
Yeah.
I say aunt. Aunt probably sounds pretty stupid, huh?
I think it sounds stupid. She ain't no aunt, you know.
Yeah, but you're not talking about an insect.
I know that, man. I'm just talking about the pronunciation on the way that I do it.
Your whole family's from South Carolina?
Yeah.
All right, well, so out of respect to Robert's aunt Mavis, that's what, but I was going to talk to her. Maybe we will talk to her this hour because I know she wanted to talk about Pastor Renick. She is a teacher there, and some of the things that Pastor Renick said, if you missed the show, if you missed that part of the show, I should say, Pastor Renick this evening was discussing literally selling forgiveness and the money that he would collect from people who came and confessed sins to him, he would give to the illegal immigrant community. It's very controversial. Anwar al-Awlaki, the radical American-born cleric who was a leading figure in al-Qaeda's Yemen affiliate and was considered its most dangerous English-speaking propagandist, was killed in an American drone strike that deliberately targeted his vehicle on Friday, according to officials. They said the strike also killed a radical American colleague traveling with him who edited al-Qaeda's online jihadist magazine. Many details of the strike were unclear, but one American official said that Mr. Awlaki, you know, and I'm sorry I'm mispronouncing that. Take these sunglasses off. Mr. Awlaki, whom the United States had been hunting in Yemen for more than 2 years, had been identified as the target in advance and was killed with a Hellfire missile fired from a drone operated by the Central Intelligence Agency. The official said it was the first CIA strike in Yemen since 2002. The strike appeared to be the first in the United States-led war on terrorism since the September 11th, 2001 attacks. The strike appeared to be the first time in the United States... Oh, yeah. That an American citizen had been deliberately targeted and killed by American forces. It was also the second high-profile killing of an al-Qaeda leader in the past 5 months under the Obama administration, which ordered the American commando raid that killed Osama bin Laden in Pakistan last May. President Obama signed the target order on this last year. So last year, not this year, not 2 weeks ago, last year, President Obama said, this guy dies. No ifs, ands, or buts. And that's where that's at. Just saying that because there seems to be some confusion still, and it's very cheap talk. It's extremely cheap talk when people, well, you know, I don't know about Obama, and if he's, is he a Muslim? You know, these imbeciles. Yeah, that's right. He's a Muslim, and he and his allegiance is to the Grand Mufti of wherever, the Grand Mufti of Mecca.
That probably, is that dirty?
Is what dirty?
Mufti.
Yeah, it does sound like it might be.
No, Mufti ain't dirty. That's what they call those guys. Mufti. What do you mean, is it dirty?
It sounds like it could be dirty.
It ain't dirty. If you call David Hall...
Well, I got you know I'm supposed to.
Boy, you are some kind of an idiot, man. You got to waste the time of this radio show with that kind of jazz. I'm telling you, bud. More and more... Here we go. Look at this.
Yeah, who is this?
It's Phil. Can we talk off the air?
David,
yeah, hold on for a minute, will you? Hold, the what? David, I'm in the middle, I know. What is the word, hone? Yeah, I said hone your craft. That was two shows ago. What? Hone? H-O-N-E. No, it is not dirty. No, it is not, what? Cone is what you're thinking of. And even that's not dirt. What? Hone your craft means to develop, to refine, to make it better. I never said gob. I never said gob. I said I never said gob. You know, you're wasting my time with this is the most asinine conversation. Well, okay, fine, you too. Yeah, and your mama.
What are you?
Let me tell you something, man, okay? Next time I use a word that you aren't sure of, you can ask me during the break, and then we together can call Mr. Hall. He's talking to me about hone. What's that?
Oh, that's another word I want to tell him about. It sounded like maybe it had to do with some sex or something.
Yeah, I don't know about that word either.
You know, you two guys are the stupidest human beings I think I've ever encountered.
Well,
Seriously. I think you're the stupidest guys I've ever talked to in my life. And you want to know something? The beauty of it is, and it's the beautiful thing, I hired you. In other words, the guy down the street didn't hire you. Some other radio show didn't hire you. I hired you. Two of the dumbest guys I've ever met.
Why is it with dumb?
What is it with you jackasses? Do you own a dictionary, man? Go look up a word like hone. And before you call David and say, I think Phil just violated FCC standards, find out what it means.
I thought you said cone.
So what if maybe I did say cone? That ain't dirty either. Only in your mind.
What did Mr. Hall say?
Oh, he's giving me this whole song and a dance about what is hone? Hone, what does that mean? And you know, did you say this? And it's this, I'm telling you, you two clowns, if I don't fire you, I got to have rocks in my head. I'm not kidding.
You didn't fire me. I just did what I was supposed to do.
But there's certain words that you're not allowed to say on the radio. Stick to those and don't start using your imagination. Now, Secretary of Energy Chu takes responsibility for Solyndra. Well, you knew that somebody had to take responsibility for the Solyndra deal. You knew that someone had to go down for the count. Someone had to get tied to the pyre. And it's Stephen Chu. Hey. He acknowledged on Thursday, and of course he's not the guy that's going to take sole responsibility for this. The taxpayers of the United States are going to hold the Obama administration as well. They should. And before you start thinking, oh, I must be listening to a conservative radio show because I just heard Phil saying that Obama needs to take consideration and take responsibility for Solyndra, cut me a break, will you? I voted for the guy. But things are not going according to plan. Let's just face it, okay? Now, I remember saying at the very early part of Obama's presidency that, he doesn't have anybody in Congress that really can help him, not the way he needs the help. And the way he needed the help was to articulate this to the American people in a way that was palatable. Stuff that comes out of Nancy Pelosi's face, stuff that pours out of Harry Reid's face, maybe they're great people, maybe, you know... It's too late, man. Nobody listens to them and hears anything other than just swill. So you got to find somebody else. He didn't do that. Okay, fine. So now the line of communication has been strangled. Next stop, we got Solyndra. We want to start putting money into green industries. This has been the big thing. Every time I turn around, green this and green that. There's a green channel. And what are you doing to be green? I even see commercials on TV that have nothing to do with green industries, but it's all about green. There's a bank commercial. Did you see this one?
Yeah, I saw that, man. I thought it was like a bank about putting money into green or something.
No, it's got nothing to do with anything. I saw this bank commercial one day. Come on in and be a depositor. And everything's green, and I thought maybe all the money's going to green stuff, and no, it wasn't. It was just this bank wanted to be green. Everybody jumping on the green bandwagon. You know, trying to force certain technologies down the throats of consumers because, oh my God, there's global warming, and if you don't do it, I mean, so the only other thing you can do is this. And I'm speaking as reasonably as I can, but if you're saying, and you have to, you got to hear this, you cannot close your mind, you must hear this. If you're saying that it is absolutely imperative that we begin to invest and we begin to develop and we begin to push green industry because we are losing losing the, you know, the ozone, and there's warming of the planet, and this is critical, and let's even take it to the Leonardo DiCaprio extreme, hurricanes, tornadoes, the whole thing is just, it's going to hell in a handcart, right? If that's what you're saying. You have to understand that in this society, there's only so much you can do with a consumer's decision-making. If I don't believe you, or I don't think it's that important, or I don't think it's that imperative, even with a Democratic president who is pro-green, who is very much on the side of people who want to hasten this because of global warming, and even he can't get it done, and you've got Americans that are saying, screw it, I ain't going to do it. And one of the reasons for this is because nobody has articulated to us, how's this going to work with the Chinese and the Indians? And what do you mean we have to carry more of the load than the third world people because their carbon footprint isn't as big as ours, and they don't have the money, and we do, and they can't afford it, and we can. So that means that they get to continue to develop these polluting industries, but we don't. What are you talking about, man? You guys don't explain anything. You just push everybody along. Push. Well, here's the backlash now. Nobody bought into your freaking Solyndra. Now, who are you going to blame for that? You want to blame Bush for that? Or do you want to blame... Who do you want to blame? McCain? People ain't buying it. Not only that, these guys are as... It turns out are as crooked as the day is long. There's only one thing you can do, only one thing you can do, and that is pass laws and implement and enforce against the will of the consumer these things that you want done. You want to pass laws where I have no choice but to buy this crap. I have no choice but to buy the light bulbs you want me to buy, and I have no choice but to drive my car the way you want me to drive my car. That's the only thing you can do. Otherwise, the planet is dead. We're shot. We're done. It's over. We are dead. That's what you're saying. That's what you're saying. I'm going to make a prediction, and then we'll go to a break. In 10 years, 10, so let's say 2021, articles will begin to appear in newspapers, and it may happen sooner, about the big global warming scare and about the big global warming con. I'm not saying the planet isn't warming. I'm not saying that. I'm not even saying that it isn't caused by mankind. I'm not saying that either. I don't go, that's not my game, man. I don't do that big panicky crap that all of these jackasses do. I like to look at things in very specific terms. I'm saying that even if there is global warming caused by mankind, the way that it has been sold and pushed and the way that it has been shoved and almost in this totalitarian autocratic manner down the throats of the consumer, we're going to start to see investigative journalists uncovering the real stink of that. And I'm telling you, it'll happen in about, I'm going to give it 10 years at the outside, maybe sooner. All right, we're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I think I have your aunt on the phone here, right?
Yes, she's on line 3.
All right, thanks, bud. We'll be right back here, world-famous, line 3. Phil Hendry Show.
You're yelling, man.
Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and on the line with me is Mavis Leonard from Joyful Union. She was a retired middle school teacher. I think Robert is back home there as well. And we're going to get Bill Glidden on the line. He's the assistant pastor at Joyful Union Congregation. It's very, very late, but we appreciate you being with us. Bill, how are you?
Well, Phil, how are you doing? I'm very good. I'm thankful for you having me on your program, and I hope we can straighten this out.
Okay. And Mavis?
I'm trying to cannot hear you all that well.
Okay. What do we need to do?
Well, turn up your phone.
Can you hear me, dear?
Yeah, I hear you a little bit better right now.
Tell me what happened.
Well, Bill, I can tell you what happened.
No. I want Mavis.
I went and visited Pastor Rennick. I wanted to donate money to the Mexicans, I wanted to give them money because I know that they're having a hard time, and I don't think we should punish people just because they're not legal in America,
Mm-hmm.
I came over to give him money, and he said, you want to have a prayer meeting? I said, I don't have a prayer meeting. I don't believe you're going to sell prayers. He said, $50, I can forgive anyone he sins. I said, I don't believe you forgive no sins. I go to your church, you know, and I hear your sermon, you're not going to forgive me. And I said to him, I come over here, I'm going to give him $20 to give to the people of that illegal immigrant fund.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave him a 50, you know.
Phil, here's where I can think I can probably help out, you know.
I would like it if your assistant, Pastor Glidden, if you wouldn't mind, please, sir. And I give him a 50.
Right.
And he tells me he's fresh out of, he doesn't have no change. So I said to him that I'm going to come over to the church tomorrow. And I'll take it out of him one way or another. And I told him.
Bill,
Go ahead. This is Pastor, Assistant Pastor Bob, Bill Glidden, right?
Yes, it is, Bill. And first of all, I want to say I do appreciate Ms. Leonard for letting me speak to her. Now, I talked to Pastor Rennie. He said he did not have any change at that time for your $50 bill. And that he said he was going to go to the parsonage, which is where he and lives, and he was going to get some change, otherwise write you a check.
I'm not taking no check. I don't take no check. Just as a rule of thumb, I don't give no check.
Well, I understand you did not want a check. So he said, well, then, he is going to go have dinner, and if you wanted to come back, he would see what he could do about getting you change. We did not have any change in the parsonage at that time.
Did you take the 50?
They did take the 50 because Pastor Rennick stated that that was the tithing. Ms. Let.
No, hold on. That was not the tithing. I didn't have no tithing. I did not confess no sin. He was talking about something that I had talked with him about when I was a young woman. I didn't want any. That was not a sin I'm confessing to him. He just getting his kicks, you know.
Well, I think that's a terrible thing to say. And,
well, you know something? I think he's getting his kicks and getting it jolly, and he's trying to get his cookie.
You know, I think that's a terrible thing to say, and Pastor Rennick did not say anything of the sort. And,
well, you know something, Phil? All I'm trying to tell you, what I said is I want that money. I'm going to take it out of him one way or another. That I'd come back to the parsonage on Saturday, which is tomorrow, and I would kick him right square between his legs.
Yes, she did say that because Pastor Rennick told me that.
You threatened physical violence.
I said, I'll tell you what, I'll take it out of your you-know-what. You don't have that change, that 50 I gave you.
Well, now, Pastor Rennick said,
who are you walking around in that stupid blue suit you have? I'll tell you now, you better tone down that suit.
Excuse me, ma'am, but that suit, what do you mean tone down my suit?
Phil, this man, he wears a, it's not royal blue, it's a light blue. It's a and it's like a lapis lazuli blue. It's a really high blue. And I told him, I said, you better tone that down because, you know, you put the hurt on my vision. And not only that, but you look like a clown and you look like a fool.
That is a terrible thing to say about that suit. You see what you're doing now? You're making this man laughing at us.
He's not laughing at us, he's laughing at you.
I don't know what to say. Do you want your money back, Mavis?
You know what? They can keep my money if they burn that suit this minute.
You want them to burn my suit? That's a beautiful blue suit.
How come all you fools wear blue?
All right, okay. Thank you very much. I don't know. We'll be back. World famous Phil. What do you want me to say?
Well, I don't know. That's why I came back here.
Good.
Phil Hendry.
Burn the suit.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We were just fooling around, listening to Mavis and to Pastor Glidden there. So we looked up church suit and or something along those lines, and we found, what is that music, bud?
They're playing music where they sell a church suit at.
Well, there is music playing on that website. And we found some wild-looking numbers. I had no idea. I'm not trying to be disrespectful at all. I didn't know that there was a whole line of fashion called church suits for men as well as for women. And that is not to be, seriously, it's not to be disrespectful. But I think that the church is like everything else. It's a place, you know, it's a social event as well as a place of worship. So I guess you're going to, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to, I know my aunt, you know, she got like all kind of different suit and.
What's she wear? Does she wear like some kind of weird turban?
What do you mean a turban, man? She don't wear no turban.
Why would she wear a turban, dude? It's, you know, it's Christian.
Oh, they ain't Muslim or nothing like that.
No, man. Are you an idiot, man? Why you say Muslim? She come from South Carolina.
I don't know.
Hey, but what is it with you, man? Nowadays, everybody that's black is Muslim. Is that it? You can't be that dumb. You can't be that dumb. 877-876-PHIL. So anyway, we were checking those out. It's pretty heavy. Magic mushroom ingredient may cause long-term improvement in personality. That's the wrong headline to read there, man.
Why?
Why? Because all the wrong people are going to want to start drinking mushroom tea and going out and finding themselves some shrooms and tripping on mushrooms so they can improve their personalities. Oh, that's great. In new research, and what I mean by that is, it not only is it not going to improve their personalities, it's going to further degrade and deteriorate their ability to function in this world without a drool bucket, if you want me to be perfectly honest.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty cold shot, man. You know,
what do you mean it's a cold shot?
Well, I mean, if it's saying that you can, like, have improvement on your personality taking psilocybin mushroom, would you not give it a shot?
Well, it depends on what you mean by improvement in your personality. What the hell is that supposed to mean?
Like, if, you know, if you're just more fun, you know, you're more fun-loving.
Are you trying to tell me, man, that I'm going to go out and eat a bunch of mushrooms so I can become more fun-loving?
Yeah, well, I like more popular.
More popular, huh? So a guy is, let's say a guy's really introverted, right?
Yeah, like that. Like, they don't make friends and everything.
Oh, okay. So I'll take this really introverted guy, sit him down and pour some mushroom tea into him. He starts to trip his ass off, you know, to the point where maybe he's out in the middle of a field wearing a cardboard hat. And then the next day...
Now, you shouldn't make a joke out of it, man.
And the next day, this guy is Mr. He's Mr. Party Animal, huh? He's Mr. Friendly. Give me a break, will ya?
They're doing a lot. You're the one that said that they're doing a lot with drugs and stuff.
Yeah, they're doing a lot. Look. Pharmacology is coming a long way. There's no question about that. It's come a long way. The ability to treat people for a variety of terrible, terrible ailments with pharmacology, which that is drugs, medicinal drugs. But, you know, we one of the reasons why we got into and got interested in and began to experiment with hallucinogenics, began smoking weed, you know, the human race is looking to balance its brain a little bit. The human race is looking to optimize its brain. We have this thing called a brain. It is not perfect. We like to think that it is. We like to think that the brain is in and of itself perfect, but somehow we're bad. What happens is we all have brains, and they're all human brains, and they all have certain ways of being, human ways of being. But chemically, biochemically, not all brains are working the same way. I didn't say that they're not all equal, and I didn't say that they're not all working correctly. I'm saying they're working differently. Now we have this society, and we have this way that we're supposed to be in society. There's a certain way that we go about our business. There's a certain way that we go about traversing this terrain of society, a way that we interact with people. And some brains out there have a hard time with it. Not because they're bad people, because every brain is different. I'm talking to this kid on Twitter. Who's that kid on Twitter?
I don't know. You mean that kid, he says that he smells?
He doesn't say he smells. He says that he's... He gives people creepy vibes, and he doesn't know why, really. He's a nice guy, he's a friendly guy, but he creeps people out, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe do it on purpose.
I don't think that's the case. I think this kid has some kind of a bipolar thing, because one day I went on Twitter, and I saw this kid had posted, like, I mean, it was real manic. It was a total mania thing. This kid had posted, like, I don't know, 30 or 40 tweets in a row, and they were all about... Hindu religion and the Bhagavad Gita, and he was chanting Hare Krishna, and then he started rapping about some other Buddhist stuff, and it would have been cool if it weren't so bloody frenetic. I mean, it was like boom, 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 boom. So finally, I said to this guy, I tweeted him, I said, man, you're like going off on, you're kind of manic. And he goes, yeah, you know, that happens to me sometimes. So that kind of tipped me off that this kid is got a brain chemistry that's not right, you know?
Yeah, but you said you can't judge nobody and everything.
No, I'm not judging him. I'm not saying he belongs in a nut house. He's a nice guy, doesn't hurt anybody. But he's different. And he obviously wants to improve his ability to relate to people. And I say that has to do with the brain chemistry. There's something going on with his head. So I said, you know, man, you probably need some medicine. And that's when he said, well, not really. He wasn't down with that. He wanted to, I think he goes through like smoking weed and maybe doing mushrooms or something, you know, some sort of, you know, light, you know, hallucinogenic light, you know.
You think mushrooms are light?
Well, mushrooms are, that's not acid, you know. But in any event, he's a nice guy. And I said, well, a guy like that with modern pharmacology, we can really treat a kid like that and make him balance him out, man, so that he relates to people. He doesn't have a hard time relating to people. Maybe holds down a job. I mean, cats, some people can't be around other people. They're scared to death of them. They have no idea how to interact with them. They have no idea how to even shake hands with somebody, how to talk to people. I remember when I was interviewing for the webmaster job years and years and years ago, and this has got nothing to do with Greg or Alex. I was interviewing to have somebody begin the webmaster job on our website.
Yeah.
So I interviewed these people, and I noticed that there were a variety of different personalities. One of the guys that I interviewed was just so bloody introverted. He didn't even look at me. He sort of moved around and fidgeted in his chair. And when he came up with the things that he wanted to do and the ideas that he had, he spewed them out, and they were very impressive, but it was all in a really kind of rap thing like this is the thing. And the other thing you can do is probably, and I don't know, what I would do is I'd have a different menu bar, and I'd have a thing like that, and never really make an eye contact. And, I mean, if ever there was a guy who was the epitome of that sort of stereotype, you know?
Yeah, the guy's like, just like a computer geek living down in the dungeon.
Well, in the dungeon.
You mean like in his mom's basement? Well, yeah, but he's like more in... Not even his mom's basement. It's probably down in a sewer system.
Yeah, that's right, bud. The guy lived in a sewer system. In any event, what is he, like Phantom of the Opera or something?
Guys like that live in a sewer system. You don't know. You don't know, man. Well.
Okay, enough. We don't need to know if they live in a sewer system or not. Anyway, no doubt the cat was, you know, had a hard time with life. So that's where all of that came from, man. That's where all of that drug experimentation came from. Everybody thinks, well, it was the corruption of morality. No. It might have been morally shocking, and it might have taken us off of our moral path, but it was not for a lack of morals. We are looking continuously in this world of ours to balance that brain chemistry so we can input this world as clearly as we can. We've been doing it since the beginning of time. We've been smoking marijuana for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. They just found weed with some mummies in China that's 3,500 years old. We've been experimenting, God knows, with alcohol. We've been experimenting with all kinds of hallucinogenics. You name it, peyote. So now comes this idea in new research that will almost certainly create controversy. Scientists working with the hallucinogen psilocybin, the active ingredient found in magic mushrooms, have found that a single dose of the drug prompted an enduring but positive personality change in almost 60% of patients.
But what did they do?
Specifically, tests involving a small group of patients in a strictly controlled and monitored clinical setting revealed that, more often than not, one round of psilocybin exposure successfully boosted an individual's sense of openness. What's more, the apparent shift in what is deemed to be a key aspect of personality did not dissipate after exposure lasting at least a year, and sometimes longer. Now, this finding is really quite fascinating, said study author Ronald R. Griffiths, a professor of the Department of Psychiatry and Neuroscience at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine in Baltimore, or as they say, Baltimore.
Who does?
People in Baltimore. Anyway, and...
I don't get it.
Hey, bud. Anyway, and that is because personality is considered a stable characteristic in the psychology of people. It's been thought to be relatively immutable and stable across the lifespan. Well, guess what? Remarkably, this study shows that psilocybin actually changes one domain of personality that is strongly related to traits such as imagination, feeling, abstract ideas, and aesthetics, and is considered a core construct underlying creativity in general. And the changes we see appear to be long-term. So you become more open, you are enhanced in creativity, you are open in your feelings and in your imagination and your appreciation for aesthetics. And what that is aesthetics are... it's a look at the artistry of the world, okay? Now, that doesn't mean you run out and do a whole bloody bunch of mushrooms. Keep in mind what the doctor here said. He said a small dose, okay, a very small dose, and they were testing this with a small group of people, but a one round of psilocybin exposure. Now, I bet you if you do like 5, 6, 7 rounds, then you turn into a basket case.
Yeah, you were talking about them two guys you knew. Remember that?
Yeah, tell that story.
How much time we got? I don't want to give out any names, but I knew a couple of kids I grew up with in Arcadia that were definite casualties of hallucinogenics. I mean, these guys took a lot, but this isn't mushrooms. It was acid that they dropped, and they both became very famous for just kind of standing and staring. I mean, these cats were, you know, they were gone, man. And they dropped a lot of acid, and they were both like, by the time they were 17, they were fried. I mean, completely cooked, all circuitry burned, you know.
So you're saying do that with psilocybin?
Well, I'm just telling you, I think anybody that does a lot of hallucinogenics, yeah, you're in big, big, deep, dark trouble.
Yeah, but what about that one guy, Timothy Leary, man? He dropped acid.
Yeah, what about him? He took LSD all the time.
I don't know about Timothy Leary. I have no idea. I don't know what he took, and I don't know why. I don't know. I do know I met him later in life. And he was very clear thinking and a nice man, but I don't know, man. You know, I like met him for like 5 minutes. We'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876 Phil. We're in the very first hour, by the way, of our 3-day free Phil weekend that will last until 1 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time on Tuesday morning. Our 3-day free Phil weekend. You go to our website and you can enjoy everything on the website, stream everything on the website, and see exactly, including the show right now, see how it's done. Our number 877-876 Phil. We'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, world famous Phil Henry Show. Just a couple of things. There's really, I mean, the news is whatever the news is, you know. There's all kinds of things going on. Right now what we have is, as I mentioned, we have the most important thing to me right now is our 3-day free Phil weekend. The rest of the world can burn for all I care, you know.
What's that supposed to mean?
Exactly what it means. I don't give a damn. I mean, I do, but I don't, you know. I care. Look, who cares about the minutiae of the news? There are things that are important, yes. We have a presidential election, okay. Should we pay attention to our government? Yes, of course we should. But I maintain something that's happened in this country. There are certain people that pay such close attention to the government, not because they want to monitor it properly or correctly, but because they're obsessed with something being wrong. Well, I mean, look at the world. Don't you think there's something wrong? On any given day, at any given month, in any given year, in any given decade, there's something wrong, man. Well, look at the economy, Mr. Henry. You can't say, of course. Of course, the economy. I just had a conversation with somebody, a very funny group called the Black Lips. These guys are a riot. They're out of Atlanta, and they're very funny. For all I know, they're rabid racists. I'm kidding. I'm joking around.
They're pretty funny.
Why do you call them Black Lips?
I don't know, because they're just joking. Anyway, The guy was under the misconception. They're younger guys, you know, and he says to me, well, he had tweeted the gay 90s. He said, today the gay 90s mean that in the 1990s, we were beginning to open up the doors of civil liberty to gay people. He said in the 1890s, it just meant that gay people, everybody was happy and having a good time. I said, well, interestingly enough, the gay 90s of the 1890s were a period of depression. There was economic depression and recession. The panic of 1893, which began all of it, lasted until 1900. It was a horrible, horrible decade. The economic times that people had to live in, there was no unemployment. You've heard these stories a million times, but it bears repeating. There was no unemployment insurance. There were no there was no Social Security. There was no government works. This was a period of time in American history where a president, where the government in Washington did not want to exercise or what they called paternalism. This was a word that they used, the paternalism. Today, we don't even, that's not even socialism. Today, we call it Social Security and Medicaid. That's what we call it. Back then, it was called paternalism, and they didn't want to have anything to do with it. They wanted nothing to do with it. And so the 1890s were a brutal time. And we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, understand something, just so you know how bad. And America was America then, a country that was on the rise, a country whose God knows, our manufacturing capacity, even then, probably had it been put to the test in the 1890s, would have just blown the minds of everybody and anybody that came in touch with it. I mean, the World War I gave people a taste. World War I gave the world a taste of what this country was about. World War II, basically, we climbed the mountain. But even in the 1890s, had we really lassoed our energies, we would have it would have been amazing. But we didn't, because we didn't believe in paternalism. We did not believe in interference with, even the Democrats didn't believe in the interference with government. As far as the Democrats were concerned, Grover Cleveland, they just wanted to be on the gold standard, not the silver standard. The silver standard was something the Republicans wanted. So, in the history of this world, any given time you want to talk about, we're always going through something. And there's always going to be somebody bitching about it, too. I refuse to live like that. And I refuse to do the kind of talk radio that some people do, which is every day they're bitching about something. Every freaking day they're crying and moaning and complaining about something. I don't give a damn if the guy who's in office is a cat that they like. They're going to cry and complain and moan about the other guys. But there's always something wrong, and that's what they're selling, you know? I ain't going to do it. So look, White House condemns Iran over Christian pastor facing execution. Well, there's one reason to get all bugged about something, right? New York State panel wants Medicaid to cover sex reassignment surgery. Well, there's something else to get all pissed off about. Maryland joins other states. New law prohibits credit history from being used in hiring. Well, there's some, and every one of these stories is probably the end-all, be-all to somebody. Every one of these stories somebody could probably get really crazy about. Chris Christie seriously considering a 2012 presidential campaign. Well, more fat jokes. But there are times when you can simply say, no, I got other things I want to do, man. I got, you know, like, we got our website we're pitching here, so we're going to do that. But, you know, just to kind of wrap up the whole thing. So today, over 100 years later, people think of the gay 90s as some time when it was like a movie. Like a movie with, I don't know who, you know, one of those old Hollywood actors with the hat and the Surrey with the fringe on top and all that jazz. And, you know, mommy's walking down the street in her Easter bonnet. That's what they thought the 1890s were about. You know why they call it the gay 90s? Because it was good for rich people. And if you see those movies, who are you looking at? You're looking at wealthy people having a good time. I got nothing against wealth. I got nothing against being gay. But I do have something against being in my 90s.
All right. Good to you, Miss Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Phil Henry, Don Naylor, Chris Johnson, and Fred Scotty. And remember, for the next 3 days, it's the 3-day free Phil weekend. Enjoy it, folks. See you tonight on the KFI videocast. on the Phil Hendry Show, world famous.
Phil Hendry.